The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy. And I have two other co-hosts who apparently can't speak.
I'm Ben.
I'm Veronica.
And we have a guest speaker tonight. We have Diana on again. She gave her testimony, a couple weeks ago, I guess?
Yeah.
I can't remember anymore, so yeah, something like that. Ben, would you like to pray us in, sir?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for bringing us together tonight and pray that you guide us in our words and our actions and that everything that we do in this podcast draws people closer to you and that you just protect us and protect all the listeners and just bless us and make this podcast actually benefit people in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to start out. Veronica sent us a YouTube clip a couple of days ago and I just absolutely loved it. So I'm going to start off playing that. If you don't mind. It's only about 3 minutes and it's really good though.
In the museum in the Louvre, I don't know how many of you have ever been there. The picture is called Checkmate. The devil's sitting on this side. There's a chessboard, and there's a guy sitting on the other side. And the guy sitting on the other side has his hand on his head like this. And he's like in desperation. And as they were taking a tour through the Louvre, there had been a group of athletes, and particularly world champions, that were being given a special tour. And in the tour was the world chess champion. And he comes walking by the picture. And the guy's explaining to him, this is a picture of an artist rendering of somebody who lost a battle with the devil. And so the group moved on to the next picture to see something else. But the world chess champion, he stayed there. And he just kept looking at the picture. And soon they noticed that he was not with the group. And so the tour guide came back and said, we've moved on. Are you coming? He said, well, I've been looking at this picture. And the guy said, yeah. He said, it's called Checkmate. The devil's laughing. The man's lost. And he said, yeah. He said, I've been noticing that. He said, but while I've been standing here, I've kept looking at the picture. I've got a problem. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player, and I spend my life playing chess, and normal people don't always see what a world champion chess player sees. He says, but when y'all walked off, I looked at the devil laughing and I looked at the man in desperation, but he said, I noticed something on the chessboard. He said, either they're going to have to change the painting or they're going to have to change the name. And the guy said, well, why are they going to have to do that? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player. And he said, when I observed the board, I found out the king still has one more move. I come to tell somebody today, you believe you've been cornered. You believe everything is gone and nothing has got any hope. But the king still has one more move. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. I dare you to declare it. The king has one more move. He has one more move over my finances. He has one more move over my marriage. He has one more move over my my kids. It is not over.
Woo. Spirited.
Yes.
I love that.
I love it.
Background is Paris.
Yeah, it's powerful.
It really is. That's probably good job, Veronica. That's one of the best clips I think I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
So last week we kind of touched on, Veronica, you were talking about how we're all going to, God's creating a new heaven and like the old earth is going to be gone and everything. And I think Ben Googled in, it was originally in Isaiah, but it was mirrored in Revelation. It's actually Revelation 21, 1 through 5. It's actually very pretty. So I'm going to read it because I can. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the whole city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, God, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And I think we actually also branched into, well, does that mean that we're not going to remember our loved ones in heaven? Mm-hmm. And I think we, didn't we decide on like our interpretation was, we'll still remember our loved ones, except for like, we just won't have memories of like the painful memories and the bad things that had happened to us. And I'm assuming we won't remember the loved ones who didn't make it into heaven, because that would be painful to me anyway, in my opinion. And that kind of, yeah.
I don't think we'll have like need for memories of pain. I know that sounds like a weird statement, but like in this world, we kind of cling to painful memories and use them to dwell in our resentments and hold on to them and use them.
Yeah, I'm especially good at that.
Clutch, right? But in heaven, like, I don't think we'll have that need. I don't think we'll just be with God and living in his glory and not have any use for pain.
Amen. Yeah, we live with Jesus. We all are. Amen. And then we were talking, I think we talked a little bit about taking up the cross daily, because I wasn't 100% sure what that meant exactly. And I did a little bit of research, and it's kind of like I've been saying, you know, walking with Jesus is hard. Well, really, it really is hard, because like being a disciple is rough. But everybody keeps telling me it's worth it, so.
It is.
It is.
Yes. I'm going to believe y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And don't Luke believe us. Is. Believe his. Don't believe us. Believe his word.
Yeah.
Because God does not lie.
There is a very big difference in the people that follow Jesus and the people that don't follow Jesus. And the biggest difference is the feelings of sadness, despair, anger, all those feelings get in the past. When you start to follow Jesus, you always have hope. You will have broken bones, broken heart and all that, but
broken hearts.
You have hope. One. Yeah, you have hope. That's the big difference. I mean, you have Jesus and not just the feeling of hope or the light at the end of the tunnel, but he gives you strength until you get to that light. You know? Amen. So it's something that you sometimes in the process to follow Jesus, you feel it. There is people that I see that they have it like so strong. And then there is others, like probably us, that it is a process, you know, it's a process that you are knowing the Lord little by little. And the more you know him, the more you read his word, the more you want to know about him and he approached to you. It's like you give and you receive more and more and more. And that's how you learn. And that's how you get stronger. You know, what do you think?
I agree. And for me, especially, I've learned he's opened me up to be a little bit more compassionate to people. Previously, I wouldn't have like even thought about. I think we were talking about, you know, I had reached out to a convict in a prison up in Kentucky somewhere. And previously I wouldn't have ever, I might have, you know, with Ben and I doing true crime before, I might have wanted to reach out to somebody just because we did an episode on him. I thought, hey, you know, it might be cool or whatever. But this time around, like I hadn't thought about her in years because we did it. probably what, 2, 3 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I didn't remember who she was until you'd written to her.
Yeah, and he just, God put her on my heart and like in my mind. So I reached out to her and she reached out to me again. But, you know, it like, I never would have considered writing to her because I don't want to say I thought she was beneath me, but I was a little bit judgmental back then, which I've kind of turned around as far as that goes. Because for now, me, because I think, I don't know what God's got planned for me right now. He hasn't really divulged that yet. I mean, I kind of have an idea. I kind of know what I'd like to do, which, you know, is get into ministry as far as like faith-based counseling and prison ministry. I'd love to do that too. So I don't know if that's my path, but I kind of tried to start it on my own a little bit with this inmate. And, you know, it was going okay so far, but I still have to learn how to die to my flesh a little bit, which that not easy to do at all. But I definitely have more compassion because I don't think I would have reached out to her in the manner in which I did because, like, I didn't say anything about, hey, you know, tell me what the real story is because we did an episode on you a couple years ago and, you know, you can't always believe everything in the media, which is true, which she actually pointed out to me. Because I guess we had emailed a couple times back and forth and, you know, with me, I genuinely wanted to actually get to know her and maybe create some kind of a friendship because I can't imagine having being sentenced to life behind bars, you know. I mean, you have to, I mean, she's a born again Christian as of 2019, which is great. So, I mean, I'm sure she still has hope and, you know, with God and everything, but living day to day, just kind of that I think would probably break my spirit a little bit. I mean, I hope it doesn't hurt, but I just wanted to reach out and just be kind of that, you know, maybe minister to her or just be kind of a light with whatever she's dealing with in prison, which I mean, I guess she's doing okay because she said she's the music director for her Friday evening services, which is good. Like she plays a piano and sings and stuff during that, so she's getting involved in good things, hopefully just good things and not other things. But I thought, you know, well, if I'm going to try to build a friendship with this person, I want to like build it on a foundation of trust. So, like, you know what? I'm going to tell her about the podcast that we did because I don't want her to find out later. Hey, come across it because she does have internet privileges. I didn't want her to come across it in the future and be like, what the heck? Like, is she really just, you know, reaching out to me just because she did an episode on me a couple years ago and wanting the continuing story, which in hindsight now I can completely understand why she would go to that place and, you know, be suspicious. I probably would too if I was in her position. But that was kind of she wrote me and said she wasn't comfortable continuing our conversations back and forth. And then she kind of called my integrity into question. And y'all have known me long enough to know that you can say a lot of things about me, but not having integrity is not one of them. I don't think anyway. And then she kind of questioned my love of Jesus, which I know y'all definitely wouldn't know me to say, hey, I love Jesus and not mean it now, given the person I used to be as far as, you know, religion and Christianity way back, you know, what, 5, 10 years ago, something like that. That those words would never came out of my mouth, I don't think. So it kind of, I mean, it hurt my feelings to hear her say that, you know, especially when I genuinely had reached out to her with pure intentions, you know, nothing nefarious or malicious or anything. And then to question my love of Jesus, I was just like, oh, hell no. So my flesh popped up a little bit. But before I did write her back because, you know, I know we're supposed to let God fight our battles, but I'm just, okay, I'm still human. I'm not completely, my flesh isn't completely dead. So I emailed her back and I wasn't mean. You know, I took a couple steps back before I started writing because, girl, I was fired up. And I was going to say exactly what I thought, but I was just like, you know, maybe let's not maybe do that because probably not the best way to handle things. So I mean, I used a lot of exclamation points in the in it, but you know, it wasn't anything. I didn't cuss at her. I didn't say anything mean. It was just, you know, kind of like basically I told her what I just told you. I'd reached out to her because I genuinely wanted to get to know her, not her case, but her, and you know, be there as another sister in Christ and you know, just maybe even get a Bible study going or something like that. Because I'm always looking for a good Bible study to get into. Because it's so much easier when you're dealing with talking with other people about it, because some things I read, I'm just like, I don't get it. And then we have people like Ben come on to say, well, this is kind of what I thought. And then it kind of snaps and makes sense. So it's nice to have a group of people to talk with, you know, like the three of us once a week, to be able just to talk about different things and different paths that we're taking and what God's showing us. And he's been showing me a lot lately, and it's like, you need to slow down a little bit because it's getting a bit much. And what did you say to me when I said that, Diane? I don't even remember now.
What? Oh, I said, what did I say? Wait a minute. Hold up now.
It's old people's memory for you.
I tell you, look, I'm almost 70 years old. Okay, cut me a break.
Never would have known it.
Oh, it's all God, honey. It's not me. Let's see here. What did I say? Let me see. Da, 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 da. And that's not it. That's the podcast thing. Okay, hold up. Where'd it go? Jeez Louise, come
you
on.
You need help working your phone, Diana?
Huh?
You need help working your phone?
Look, it's doing this little twirly thingy over here.
Oh, okay.
It's little twirly thingy.
You mean the buffering thing?
Yes, the twirly, yes. Hold up, honey.
While Diana look for that, keep looking, Diana.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, Mandy, that I remember years and years ago, probably 20 years ago, that I had a friend. She was evangelical, and she works with me, one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. And she was always talking to me about Jesus. And I always turned her down because I was Catholic and I didn't want she to change me my religion. So I always told her, you know what? This is the last time you talk to me about this subject. And I hurt her feelings. I was mean. I did wrong to her. 20 years after that, I went to Colombia because she's a manager in a beautiful hotel in Colombia. And guess what I did? I told her, I am here to ask you forgiveness because you were right, I was wrong. And no. Thank you. And then she said, there is nothing to forgive. And then she said, I knew that this was going to happen. Okay. And I asked her, how did you know? Because I pray for you the whole time. So sometimes we put seeds in people.
Yeah.
That's our job.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job, to put that seed. And there is people that's going to come out very badly.
Yeah.
I have hundreds that have been coming out after me like, you are so wrong, and they really get hurt, and you can see the anger in their faces. They don't want to listen about this, you know? And they always come up with something that will hurt you, because the devil is using them. It's not them, it's the devil, okay? Something that will hurt you and hurt you bad. So you can go away from that work that you are doing, putting seeds on people. Your job is to put the seed on that person. You don't need to babysit that person.
Somebody else will water it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then you put it in the hands of the Lord and you pray, just like my friend did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's how it works. Because we are not the ones that are doing the job. It's he the one that
that's
is doing
right.
the job.
That's
right. I found out after I got resaved again that one of my friends from high school had been praying for me for 30 years. I'm just like, well, I don't want things to take that long, God, because I don't have that much time already. So maybe answer my prayers a little bit quicker, if possible.
He knows how much time you have. He knows. So okay. So you said God is pushing you to your limit, and you have to talk about it. I can't wait to hear what he's doing. Anyway, and then. Dagnabbit. You said he keeps correcting you, which of course you don't like.
Well, sure.
And I said, you said, I told you, I said, that's because he loves you so much. And then you said it's rough. And then I said, of course it is. When the potter is done molding the clay, the results will be amazing.
Yeah. But it is rough.
Yes.
Discipleship is rough. It's like
It is, yeah.
what I think what I read last week was embracing a continuous, deliberate commitment to follow Jesus that reshapes your entire identity and priorities, which is like what discipleship is. It represents an instrument of sacrifice and death, meaning death to yourself, not killing yourself, but death to your flesh.
Right.
And we're supposed to live as though we've been sentenced to death by crucifixion. That's just a terrifying thought to me. I don't want to think about that. But it involves dying mentally and actively each day, which I do have to do that every day. I wake up and I'm like, I have to be like, God, you got to do your will today, not my own. Because if I don't say it, like as soon as I wake up, I'm off on my own, picking up my phone, scrolling instead of talking to God. And that's one of the things that I've been having a rough time with, being very trusting of people like really quickly. And just that compassion and love, because there's like, I guess, a hole in me or something I'm trying to get filled, instead of letting God and the Holy Spirit fill it, I'm turning to other people and he's showing me, yeah, well, look what happens when you do that. They go away. I'm like, well, that's just stupid. But, again, he's trying to teach me, but I'm stubborn, you know me. Not to rely on people for my happiness and just turn to him. And I was like, today I was laying in bed. And man, I've got a tooth infection right now, and I woke up this morning. I was going to go to church. I was like, I'm going back to sleep. And our church is broadcast live on YouTube. And let me tell you, they were having baptisms and worship the entire service. I'm like, really? I missed that. That's my favorite. And I'm like, what I get for sleeping in? Was so good. But yeah, just putting him first and letting the Holy Spirit become my best friend. That's what I need to do. And
Yes,
quit
definitely.
thinking of, well, I want somebody physically here to be my companion, Well, I feel the when the Holy Spirit's on me, I feel like it's kind of like hot oil running through my body, I guess, is the best way I can describe it. So I'm kind of just like, maybe quit being so picky and just realize what you have and start talking to him all the time instead of talking to my head, because I have conversations in my head with myself, which probably not the best words to be using, but I'm human. That's the way it goes. But it kind of goes back to faith as well. Because, like, I was telling them last week that the problem I have with my sister is, it really shook my faith a little bit. And I was just like, well, it's been 6 weeks since we've had this issue. And if an argument that's been going on for 6 weeks can shake my faith, then maybe it's not very strong to begin with, which obviously is true. Which led me to Matthew 17, verse 20 says, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." But I mean, how do you like, I don't know. I mean, how do you just have just, I don't want to say blind faith, because I think blind faith is dangerous, but just that faith of, I
That
can move mountains.
will come in time. Okay, the
And from
more,
him.
yes, from him, that will come in time. The more you spend time with him and talking to him, then and he will show you. I mean, you
I
just have
kind of
to.
feel like the sons of thunder, James and John, who like when they when him when they were out walking with Jesus and they met up with who was it, the Gentiles, I guess,
No, the
no,
Samaritans.
the Samaritans, yeah, the
Yes.
Samaritans. And the Samaritans spit on John and he about lost his stuff. It's like wanting to rain fire and brimstone and stuff down on him. Jesus like, maybe I'm not going to give you full authority just yet, we need to kind of rein it back in a little bit. I feel like that's kind of me right now.
You know what, see that kind of faith, like Jesus said, it moves mountains, but it It also includes, which sometimes can be harder, trusting that it doesn't have to work out perfectly or the way you want it to work out, and knowing that God's still working for your benefit and that it's going to all work out the way it's supposed to.
Well, I mean, because that's what faith is. It's a belief in something you can't see, which me being a control freak is hard because I like, you know, we live in a world where it's everything's like instant gratification. I want it now. Though, and he's like, you'll get it when I give it to you.
That's like, right. In his perfect timing.
Yes. And very rarely is God's timing now.
Right.
Yes, I've come to see that. Yeah. Come to see that. Because I'm like, God, come on, send me my people. He's like, working on it.
Don't get me wrong. You can be in an emergency situation and he can act now.
Yes.
But when you were like, God, you better do this now, and it's not an emergency, his timing might be different than yours.
Yeah.
That or he just takes things away from me. He's been doing that a lot lately. Like, oh, you want to put them first? Okay, well, no. See ya, bye-bye. I mean, I don't know if she'll ever write me back or not, because like I said, I don't think I was mean in that email I sent her, but I was honest. I was like, you know what? You kind of hurt my feelings. Number one, I don't appreciate being judged, number one, because when I was looking at how to write her, she's got like a post or something. Like, she wants to meet non-judgmental people, which I can understand given her background. Fine, whatever. And so I wrote to her because I said that. I was like, but you can't be judgmental either. You know, it goes both ways. So, I mean, and I guess I'm kind of taking this time to openly confess. I don't want to say sin, because I don't think our episode on her was a sin, because we didn't lie about anything. I mean, granted, I got my information from news reports and autopsies and stuff like that, but and police video, which is whatever, not gonna get into that. But it wasn't like I was sitting down intentionally trying to be malicious with what I thought were facts. It was just, I mean, basically, if you've ever listened to any of our true crime stories, we basically just tell stories and kind of go at it from a psychological perspective, because Ben's got his master's in psychology and is continuing on, and I've taken a lot of psychology too, and it's just something that we both enjoy talking about, you know, the whys behind, you know, why people lose their mind from time to time, or what I would perceive as losing their mind, you know. So I don't think it was anything bad, but at the same time, without having the actual police reporter actually speaking to her personally about it, I can see why she would be upset, you know, because she said that a lot of the media attention was very malicious, had a malicious narrative, which if you watched it all, I mean, it was, you know, they really did come down hard on her for, I mean, what she did wasn't good. I'm not condoning sin. I'm just saying I can understand why her feelings came up the way they did. And yeah, I got a little bit angry. I didn't cuss her out. I was as nice as I could possibly be given that state of mind I was in. But it hurt my feelings. And of course, you know, when hurt people get hurt, they usually tends to turn to anger. Well, I had to kind of quiet that down a little bit. So I got the anger under control, but the hurt feelings are still there. So I did tell her how I felt. And I'm not going to apologize for that, because it was honest. It wasn't anything like, oh, you suck. You know, how dare you say something like that? I'm not even going to go there with the stuff I was thinking, because it's just so like, wow, that's not who I am anymore.
You know your intent, and you know, like we talked about last week, I believe when Jesus sent out the apostles to preach, he told them if people didn't hear them to kick off the dust from their feet when they leave. Right. Uh-huh. If she doesn't write you back, it doesn't matter. You know that, you know.
Well, I mean, we're supposed to confess our sins to each other, not to replace Jesus, but as a way to, how do they put it?
Not sure where you're going, but while you're looking that up, I will say, I feel like when God said that we're supposed to confess our sins to each other, he didn't mean every single person.
Right.
Right? It's got to be the right.
Like our community.
Yeah, but you're not going to go to church and tell every Christian that you walk up to everything deep and dark secret about yourself. That's not what he meant, right?
Well, no, but I mean, as far as her, then yeah, I mean, that's why I told her about the podcast to begin with. It was.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is it's not her obligation to tell you
Oh no, it's absolutely not.
about that, right?
No, she's not
Unless
obligated.
she wants to.
Yeah, it's she doesn't have to explain anything of that to me, but I'm just saying for my part, I'm doing what the Bible said we're supposed to do. And it talks about a little bit more. It says the purpose of mutual confession extends beyond individual forgiveness. In confession, breakthrough to community takes place because sin withdraws a person from the community, which is true. But when sin is confessed in the presence of a Christian brother, the last stronghold of self-justification is abandoned. The fellowship bears the sin of the brother, who is no longer alone with his evil because he has cast off his sin in confession and handed it over to God. Confession also serves corrective purposes within the church. If your brother sins against you, go and confront him privately. If he listens, you have won your brother. When someone is caught in a fault, those who are spiritual should correct him with gentleness, and believers should bear one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ. I think I've said that too before about we're supposed to bear each other's burdens or carry each other's burdens, which is biblical. Don't ask me to get the scripture because I don't remember where it was. I don't know if it's in Matthew. I've been reading a lot of Matthew and Luke lately.
That's the book I'm in now.
Matthew or Luke?
Matthew?
Matthew.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh yeah. I read it I don't know how many times.
Yeah. So
It was my first time
amazing.
all the way through. I think I've marked up just about like highlighted most of Matthew. Because it's just so good. I really like Matthew. I loved how they
Matthew
portrayed
is
him.
very detailist. He has a
Yeah.
lot of detail.
I kind of wonder if Matthew really was autistic in real life.
If really he was what?
Autistic?
Autistic? No. Then
He
how
looked like
can we
that.
know that? Yeah.
I'm just talking, speaking like just because he's so detailed and the way they portrayed him in The Chosen was just like that kind of
Yeah.
fits a little bit, you know? Because he's
Yeah.
very.
It could be like that, or it could be like maybe kind of like a thief, because he was more he was a tax collector, and
He
being
was the
tax
enemy.
collectors, they were considered like thief too, because they used to steal from
The
the
people.
taxes, you
Yeah.
know, corruption, you know,
Yeah.
corruption.
I wonder
So
if Matthew
probably
actually
was
had that
more a
though.
corrupted man.
Yeah. I feel like The Chosen made him autistic just to make you like him faster because the series is limited, right? And it made you have compassion for him because it's like he can't help what he's doing.
Well, it took me like a couple seasons to start liking him because I was just like, oh my God, get this character off, please.
You know, with that series, and that's something that I had to thank Ben a lot because he was the one that told me about The Chosen years ago. My husband was still not clicking until he saw when the day that Jesus called Matthew in that series in The Chosen, then I saw my husband crying. And then after that, my husband started to change. So that series, I am very grateful because I needed something like that. I needed like a push for him. And that really helped me with my husband, faith.
That actually helped me a lot too, because it's just I think I've gone through and watched it three times already. Getting ready to start my fourth time. Because you know the new season comes out in November, so I need to make sure I've seen everything because it's gonna be nonstop crying season six. Just the whole time. It's gonna be awful. Well, not awful, but you know what I mean. So I was
Yeah,
actually
very
looking
hard.
for a verse a few minutes ago that I couldn't find because apparently I can't see anymore. It's Luke 14. 25 through 26, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." That just kind of goes back to the whole stuff is hard because it does require a lot of sacrifice, but I guess eternal
It's
life and
hard,
how.
but I tell you something. You know, my kids, they study in a Catholic school. And my son was in kindergarten. And they teach them very good their religion there. I was very happy with what they teach them. When he was in kindergarten, he came one time to me and say, "Mommy, I love you, but first I love God." before he created you. I was like, every penny I pay to this school is paid right now. I mean, this is great, you know. And he was like that. He thinks like that until today. That is what we need to, like, assimilate. For kids, it's more easy, you know. You tell them this is how it is, and they get it. For adults, you're telling me that I have to put God in front of my husband, my mother, my kids.
Well, we're also jaded, being older, you know. It's kind of like,
yes,
you kind of get attuned to one way of living, and then it's just you throw all this new stuff in the mix, and it's like, my brain can't handle this much change, but
he revolves your world.
Yeah. He does. I mean, yeah, he is. Trust me, you'll learn to appreciate him. You'll learn to appreciate what he's doing, you know, to you, to your heart. It's hard,
to an extent, but you know, it's kind of like. But I mean, honestly, I feel good when I read the Bible, which that's never happened before until this time around. So it's I read it daily as much as possible. But it's kind of like before I was just like, you know, because my mom used to make me read and just like, I don't want to. I've got crime novels I can read. So but no, she used to make me and just like, eh. But this time I want to.
That's good.
Because he's got you.
Yeah, there's a song Hope Darsh sings. It's called No Turning Back. You guys should listen to it. It's when I heard it the first time, I swear Jesus said, he's like, that's the, he's what he says. He's like, we got you. Like, or I got you. See the Trinity. It's so hard for me. Because I say good morning to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Abba every morning, even though they're the same person. But in my head, it helps me sort that out a little bit. But
Well, you know, every day I say, Jesus, you are Lord over my spirit. You are Lord over my soul, my body, my mind, and my heart. You know,
yeah,
and
I have to take control of my mouth every day.
Well, you know, once he gets a hold of your heart, you know, once you make he's Lord over your heart, you know, because they say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
Okay, so once he gets a hold of your heart, you give him your whole heart, your speech will change.
Well, I don't cuss as much as I used to, which is weird because I was like potty mouth.
I know. I remember.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
I still am.
Not as bad, though.
I remember, Mandy, I remember we were in the training room.
And I was dead.
And I saw the soft side of you. I saw you actually saw your heart because somebody did something. I think it was regarding a woman in a wheelchair or something. And your compassion came out. And I'm sitting there looking at you. And I looked at you and I said, aha, I've got your number. And I said, you trying to hide under that hard exterior. I said, but you got a soft heart. You turned around, Mandy. You looked at me and said, if you tell anybody, I'm going to punch you in your mouth.
That sounds like something I would have said, yeah. But I think, weren't we doing like aisle chair training or something?
Something, like, yes. And yeah. But I
kind of remember that.
Right there, God showed me your heart. I was like, ah, I got your number, honey.
I'm a big softy. I'm even worse now, so. You look at me and start crying.
I forgot about aisle chairs, and I am still shocked that we were permitted to do that.
Shocked that we let Tina do that, because, oh my gosh. One time, were you guys, I don't know if you guys were working, but Tina and I, she was helping me do an aisle chair, and we had to use the wheelchair lift. It took us an hour and a half to get this person off of the plane.
Oh, my goodness.
And Tina is like, you know, I'm sitting here trying not to, like, totally lose it. Because, you know, Tina, God love her.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, we need to retrain you, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hated doing that thing. Actually, I didn't
Yes,
enjoy
thank
it.
God now they have other people doing that, thank God.
Do they really?
Yes, they have the wheelchairs pushers. The Prospect is a
They have a
company. They do
Skycast
that.
doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trust them with my loved one in a
Well,
wheelchair.
they train them to do that.
I mean, we've had though, like, no offense to age, but like 20-year-old girl gate agents and rampers, and like, I would trust, I mean, I don't know who works for this company, but I would probably trust them more than some of the people I've seen
Well,
that work for us. So.
some of the people I remember back then, like some of
Yeah.
our normal spec caps, I would trust them, like Andy and James. No big deal. You guys remember them? We're talking airline
No.
talk now. We'll get back to Jesus in a minute.
Yes.
Because I tell you what, Jesus had to have been with us the whole time. Otherwise, we would have killed people on rainy days.
Yeah. Yeah,
That
so
was.
many times I have been asking his help at that job is he has been showing the help.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you
when
had
I
to have
needed
his
the
grace
pasta.
there, especially in Bemis.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
We did have fun though, for the
Yeah.
most part.
It's a fun job, yeah.
Veronica's
You
like,
know what?
oh, buddy.
It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, Jesus or God is still molding you. You know, because I've been saved. Oh my gosh, let me see. My children were, my oldest was about 8 years old, and now he's 48.
Oh my
Okay.
gosh.
So, but still today, okay, the new job that I'm at, that I'm doing, is still property management. Okay, we have a very nice clubhouse, and we stock the refrigerator for our residents. You
Oh.
know, for them. I mean, we have snacks in there. I mean, just everything for them, so they can come in from the pool anytime and help themselves.
That's
Well,
nice.
you know, when I say I have to repent every day, I have to repent because there was this one family. They just kept coming in and taking a whole bunch of snacks out there with them, and a whole bunch of, it was just the same family. And I could see them from my office. And I'm like, really? I mean, seriously? You know, and that was the selfishness in me coming out, you know, and it immediately God checked me. The Holy Spirit put me in check and say, look, I give you more than enough. I give you above what you even ask for, and you're gonna sit there and say, you know, that's there for them. Ooh, honey, when he puts you in check, he puts you in check, you know. And I had to sit down and say, and I had to repent and ask him to forgive me and to change my heart and deliver me from that selfishness, you know.
Oh, girl, I have to
So,
repent every time I drive.
huh?
I have to repent like every 5 minutes when I'm driving because, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still, you know, he never stops working on you because we will never, ever be perfect while we're in this body.
Nope.
You know, so
Exactly.
he's continuously working in you. All you have to do is let go. Know when to
Oh,
let
yeah.
go.
That's the hard part for me. I
Yeah.
tend to hang on to things and be like, obsess them over and over again, and just like, why? It's the same outcome every time.
Put it on prayer. Put it on prayer because prayer is a gun and it's a powerful gun. It's something that is out, is he gave us this tool and we don't use it to the maximum. It's like Excel. They say that we use Excel only the 10% of what it needs to be used. Well, with prayer, we use the 0.001% of what it should be used because prayer is like amazing, an amazing gun. And we have a battle of spirits around us, bad and good spirits that are always behind our souls. And the only thing that can help us to win that battle is prayer. So if you are obsessing and obsessing about something that probably doesn't have That's not your meaning in life. That's not really the goal that you need to be focusing. Pray for that, because the devil loves to distract you.
Oh yeah,
he did that too.
He loves to distract you for what God wants you to do, your real will. So he's gonna put you stuff to distract you and say, okay, Mandy, let's think about this person again. Let's think about what they did to you. Let's think about. So many times I found myself in the night with these thoughts. And I say, okay, get out of here.
Yes, there you go.
And now I'm going to talk with who I need to talk. And I go on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, can you please tell this guy to get away from me so I can sleep? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only way, and prayer is powerful.
Yeah. I like that you said prayer is like a gun. And I feel like kind of like what you were saying with the distractions, it's like the devil's slowly unloading this gun when we're not looking, right? Like with like the TikToks and the Facebook reels and the Instagram stories and the Reddits and all these things that make our attention span decrease till it's very little, makes it a lot harder to get to that point of connection when you're in prayer, because our minds are being detrained to actually hit that deeper level. And that deeper level is when you can actually make miracles happen through prayer. Like, you have to break through all of the world's nonsense that has kind of deconstructed our ability to actually tune in. It's hard to do, but it's still possible. It's like, and I think detaching from our phones and our TVs and things like that are ways during the day we can actually get ourselves more primed for that as well.
Well, that's what I started to do in the morning. So, because I mean, before it was like, as soon as I wake up, immediately grab my phone. Oh, who's reached out to me? Whatever. But now I've gotten to where I'll put my hand on my, I'll just grab a hold of my necklace and just be like, I'll start talking to God before I grab my phone. But like the devil, his thing with me is he gets in my head and he's like, are you going to let that person talk to you? She's supposed to be a Christian and she's talking to you like that? No, I don't think so. And that, of course, gets me riled up because he knows how to do that easily.
Well, you know what, Mandy? Everything the devil knows about you, you've told him.
I know.
So you have to just watch what you say. You know, the scripture that says death and life is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say. Just start speaking life and speak life over you. Don't tell the devil nothing. He a nosy little something, you know? So don't tell him nothing, you know? So, and then he can't read your mind. So talk to God. What's bothering you?
He cannot read your mind and your soul. He cannot read it.
Right.
Mm-mm. God so can, but the devil can't.
Right. If you need to talk to God, right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I kind of yell at him sometimes. I'm like, dude, seriously, you got to deal with this person. Soften her heart because I'm about to kill her. I need Jesus real quick. And then I swear, if he could roll his eyes, he rolls his eyes probably at me 25 times a day.
And you know what? And he loves that honesty. He really does. You know, he's not scared of your feelings and he's not scared of you, you know, so.
No.
Because, you know, that's how I talk to him, too. I'm like, Lord, really? I mean, come on now. Yeah. You know, he likes honesty. He doesn't want all that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, when my father died, I yelled at him very bad because I couldn't go there. And I yell at him and say, you're going to take him away from me. And I won't even say goodbye to him. And I was crying and yelling at him. And then I say, wait a minute. I would say to myself, the only one that I can ask to see him again is him.
Yeah, the one
so I went
at,
on my knees. And I said, please let me see him one more time.
Yeah.
And he let me see him one more time.
It's supposed to be like some of the best prayers that God likes to hear. Mm-hmm. Just like, well, he's been hearing a lot of mine lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big crybaby now, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Stupid stroke.
You know, and when those bad thoughts, when start penetrating your mind, start rebuking them, start binding them and rebuke them, you know.
I gotta do that because I mean sometimes I feel stupid because you're supposed to say that stuff out loud, and a lot of the times it's when I'm in around people, you know, not saying anything. Be like, get underneath my feet, devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
People gonna
just
look at me
say
like
it
that.
Out loud.
You know, it's so funny that like all of us are so worried about looking broken.
Yeah.
In front of other broken people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at this. Look at Jesus' disciples. One
we
was
are all broken.
Assassin, tax collector. I don't remember the rest of them. What they did. A lot of
couple
fishermen.
Peter was a hothead. You know, Peter had a bad temper. You know,
yeah. Like me.
And he was his rock. He became he was you know the strong one. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Paul was a persecutor of Christians, and he was mean.
And
he was probably considered in these times a criminal, one of these serial killers.
Yeah.
But looking back on Peter, like Diana was saying, like Peter was a mess till the end, right? He the Garden of Gethsemane, he cuts off the soldier's ear. Jesus has to heal it and rebuke him for that. And then he denies Christ three times. And then Christ still resurrects, comes back to him and says, "You're my boy."
That's right.
And it's funny how God make us know that we know all the messes that he did, because we don't know too much the messes of the other ones, but we know the messes that the lead did.
Right. And he never had that lead position taken away.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he explained us, okay, and it doesn't matter how messy you are, I can put you in a position that I want. I can put you to do this mission. I can put you to help these people. I can put you to spread my word.
That's
so
right.
I don't care about the messes that you have in your life.
Well, I mean, he even had dinner with Judas, knowing that he was going to betray him.
That's right.
Exactly.
Which is like, oh man, I would have like turned him into a frog or something. Which is probably why I haven't given full authority
but
over him yet.
Right, and that's because he's compassionate. You know, that's his he's compassionate. He's merciful, you know, and he knew that he had to go through what he had to go through for us.
You know? Washed Judas' feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody else would have cut his feet off, but
I probably would have. Yeah. Kiss me and turn me over.
And,
no.
And back to, in God's timing. So I left my old job. I don't think I shared with you guys, but I left my old job for this new one that I absolutely love now. Mm-hmm. But this job that I was at, I'm still in property management, okay? Mm-hmm. And everything was going well, well, well. And they hired a regional manager who is, woo, Lord, I was tested. Let me put it that way. I was tested. And she would just cuss, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you know, and it's just the way she was like a bully. She was a bully. Mm-hmm. And my son, who was my leasing agent, he said, "Mom, why do you let her talk like that? Why do you let her talk to you like that?" You know, because she kept throwing her years of she's been in the business 22 years. Mm. And my son, he's like, "Why don't you tell her you've been in this business for 39 years?" I'm like, "What for?" You know, my work speaks for me. So I'm not, no. He would get very upset. And I'm like, "I'm good. Don't worry about it." But one time she was just like out of control. I sat at my desk. I closed my eyes. And I said, "Lord Jesus, either move me or move her." And then I left it alone. I let it go. And guess what? He moved me.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I know, I got the call. Bam, 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 bam. And I'm out of there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fix
this
it.
Whole thing with like my stepsister and us getting into a fight is what caused me to go to this new church that I absolutely fell in love with. I mean, these people are, it's a huge church. And the pastor actually called me the other day. Super nice. We talked for a little while and she gave me her cell phone number, said if I ever needed like personal attention to text her or whatever. I'm like, how many pastors do that now, especially of large churches? Mine sure didn't, and the other one. So I'm just like, okay, so maybe I had to lose my sister in order to find my church family, which.
Yeah. And right. And the thing is, once you ask God for something, then let it go. Or if something's bothering you, put it at the cross. Okay.
I usually have to do that every day.
Yeah, exactly. And then let it go and watch God work. You know,
it's incredible how when you start to approach to God, all these people that was near to you that he doesn't want that you be near to them, he start to put them away from you.
Yes.
It's something that you can see. I can probably account 10 of them, you know, and it's something that they don't wanna be with the Lord. So they are no good for you, for your environment. They want to still be in the world and live the world life, and it's not good for you.
Right.
You know? So it's amazing how the Lord pushed them any reason away from you, you know?
Yeah, but there's some people I'm just like, I don't want them to go away. Like best friend, Amerika, I love her. She's been my rock for 20 plus years. I'm like, if she's not a Christian, I'm working on her. I'm trying to work on her, but it's going to be a rough one. Of course.
No, you
said that about me too.
You pray for her and let God get you say, Father, whatever you have to do to get her attention, so be it. Mm-hmm. And then leave it alone and continue to pray for her.
Yeah. And then as far as the friendship, like my best friend since I was 12 is not a Christian, and he's never tried to change me or judge me for my beliefs as a Christian, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't still hope that he becomes one or that she becomes one, but I'm saying that if she's your real friend, she's not going to turn her back on you because you are.
Oh, she doesn't. She doesn't at all. She lets me talk about spiritual things with her, you know, so that's, you know, I could talk to her about Jesus and stuff like that. I even invite her to my baptism. She's like, I don't go to churches. I'm like, it's like going to a concert, but being stupid. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking.
But man's best friend also went to his baptism.
True.
Yeah, he went to your baptism. I remember that.
So. Oh, your best friend's in...
When is the baptism?
August 16th.
August 16th. In Tennessee?
No. Yes. What am I saying? Yeah. That's in Nashville. And it should be live streamed because they were live streaming baptisms this morning. So I'm just like, oh, okay. So in front of a congregation of like 4,000 and however many people are watching, that's awesome.
That's fine.
Watch me cannonball into the baptismal.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I asked the pastor, I'm like, I'm a little bit disabled. Do you have a handrail going up to your baptism? She's like, no, but there'll be two people on the other side of you. I'm like, good, because I'm going to need it. I was like, just get me to the edge and I'll jump in. I don't even care. I'm excited about it. It'll be fun.
Yes. No, that's just amazing. It's a great thing.
As long as my shorts don't fall off. That would be embarrassing walking out. I'll be like, Jesus, hold my pants up, please.
just feel that moment that it's you and him.
Yeah.
It's you and him. Think on that.
I'll be crying the whole time, so it'll be fine.
It's going to be amazing. Oh, my gosh.
I'm hoping Jesus will show up like he did with Ben, with like big cross on my forehead like he did with Ben. Or something even cooler. No offense, Ben.
It's all good.
Now, just remember, my dear, when you are trying to live for Jesus, okay, and just live for him, you're going to get attacked every which way but up.
Girl, I mean, stop already.
And that's okay. I mean, because God has your back, you know, so they've already lost, you know.
I read something, it was a meme on Facebook. It's talked about when you get attacked in the area that you're going to be your, like your strongest ministry. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm losing people. So what does that mean? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's going to be some kind of ministry, whether it be through this podcast every week or me going to prisons every week or what it is. I'm not sure yet, but whatever it is, going to be cool. And I looked at, like, my church has their own, they have a college. So I'm looking into going to that as like under pastoral care counseling. So, and they're fully accredited. So that's my next steps, I think.
Yeah. Well, just let God guide you. He'll lead you. You know, he'll put that in your heart, and it'll be so strong that other people say, "You're crazy, man." But
yeah,
you know. But it'll be so strong that you won't listen to them. She's like, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like Apostle Paul say, it's a wonderful craziness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the Apostle Paul is wonderfully crazy. So,
yeah.
The way he talks, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, the most beautiful, he went from being a criminal to write the most beautiful words that love is patient, love is kind, love is merciful. Yes, yeah. It's like no one poet in the world has been saying things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very popular verse. Is that where is that in Luke?
Corinthians.
Yeah, Corinthians. It's his letter to the Corinthians. I think that he was in prison when he wrote that letter.
Believe it's 13, Corinthians 13.
Look at you guys go.
Huh?
So look at you guys, so smart.
It's called studying. Study the word.
Oh, yeah. Corinthians 13.
Yeah.
Like 1 and 2 and then 4 through 7.
Yeah.
Verse 4 is where it starts. Love is patient and kind. Mm-hmm. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. I'm still learning that too. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance.
Amen.
And I know, Mandy, I know God is going to use you in a mighty, mighty big way, you know, because you're bold and you're fearless.
You exactly. Know? I keep saying that and I don't feel like it.
You, he's going to use you in a mighty big way, you know, because you're not afraid to speak what's on your mind, but he's going to soften your heart even more. So you'll be able.
He's going to have to tame my tongue a little bit.
Yeah. Give it to him. Just he delivered me from that. So just give it to him.
Yes.
We all have big things to do, whether it be this podcast or whatever we're getting into. I still think Veronica should move to Ecuador and take care of that farm. Become a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully we can keep the farm because we're praying to keep that farm. Right now we had a Catholic church renting until December. So hopefully we can keep that. And next year, we don't know what's going to happen because they are leaving, but maybe something will change. We don't know. We're putting it on prayer, you know. Or the other thing that could happen is my husband retires. I will be retiring, if God permits, on November for the airline. So maybe we can go there and see what we can do, look for churches and keep bringing those retreats there to the church. Own. Yes, I mean, I just want
Pastor
that.
Veronica.
I'm sorry?
So Pastor Veronica.
Pastor. We just wanted to keep the mission of being serving the Lord in that place, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's how that place was built. Always have been serving God. And I don't want that change, you know? So, yes, when we can keep some more churches or we can find more. But I don't know. The world is being crazy lately. I think that it's very near that Jesus is coming. For some reason, I feel it. I feel it. I feel it.
Excuse me. It's kind of scary to think about, but yeah, I don't think we're too far off. I kind of feel like it's going to come in this lifetime, in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is good. At the same time, it's just like, but I just started again. That's all right. I'll continue up there.
I don't know. There's too many signs. The signs are there. So,
Ben, what about you? What do you think is going to happen with you?
With end times?
No, with like your future.
Oh, I wouldn't even dare to guess. I wouldn't even dare to guess. I just kind of relying on God. Like I said, I'm doing my practicum is a Christian counseling center, and that wasn't even like a goal of mine. Because I didn't want to be pigeonholed as far as like the therapy profession, right? I wanted to make sure that I was well-rounded, and this school or this not school, but this location that I'm going to be doing my practicum at, it ended up being not only Christian, but also has everything that I educationally need, and it is very well-rounded. And then when I was like there and prior to interviewing, and then when I did my interview, like it's just such a peaceful and wonderful feeling place that I realized maybe Christian counseling is exactly what I want to do, right? So
That's awesome.
yeah, I kind of got blessed and I ended up somewhere that I wasn't seeking, but that could be beneficial in that kind of realm. But yeah, as far as where it goes and how it all unravels, it's no clue. Don't even have the capacity to attempt to think about that.
I think you'll be doing big things too, so.
For you know what God says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Amen.
We just got to get there.
You know, and you know God doesn't lie. You know, we have our own plans, but he's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I want you doing this. You know. So, because you know, it's like me, I wanted to retire when I was 65. You know, got this to buy a 40-foot, you know, RV, you know, and just hit the road, you know. But here I am, gonna be 70 next year, and I was like, okay, Lord, you're not allowing me to retire for a reason. I don't know why, but I'm trusting you know. So,
It's his will, not our will.
Exactly, you know.
Which sometimes is not fun.
No.
Let's just be honest.
In this world, no. But
No.
we are going to have an eternity of
Oh,
peace and
wonderful.
happiness and being around his glory. And we have to focus on that. That's
Yes.
our goal, to get to that eternity.
And to bring as many
Yes.
people with us as we can.
If
There
we
you
are
go.
just focusing in this life here, then we can get very anxious.
Yeah.
You ever wake up from a, here it's a bad dream, right? You wake up from a bad dream and you're like, oh, thank God that wasn't real because it felt
Yeah.
so real. I kind of feel like when we pass, we are like, oh my God, I'm home. That was not real. Thank goodness, right? Because we only know this world, so we cling so much to like money and things we can get and the comfort of everything that we have here. And it's like, in all reality, compared to where we're going to be going, there's no comfort here.
Except amongst each other and with God.
And you know what? When I have found out that when you let go, he will take, like for example, when I was younger, you know, in my 20s, ooh, honey, I was a shopaholic. I'm talking about nails and hair and makeup, you know, and now it's like I hate shopping. I don't care about getting my nails done. I wear no makeup. You know, and I know that that was God that has taken that out of me, you know. And it's like, you know, I tell my husband, I said, why do we have so much stuff? You know, I just like, ew, you know, let's get rid of all this stuff. And I know that that's God,
Yeah,
you know, that's,
absolutely.
yeah,
I
that's.
like in my 20s and 30s, I drank excessively, and there was a point where I just stopped liking it. Like my body stopped taking it. Like it was just like it, like one beer and I feel like death the next day. Like my body just no longer could do it. And I know that was God.
Yeah, he's kind of turned me off of horror movies, which I always loved. Loved him. I don't really watch them anymore. And I'm actually going to sell my ghost hunting equipment because I'm not really interested in doing that anymore either. as much. I mean, there's still a little desire to, because I like the supernatural.
Exactly.
But
and it's all God. It's mm-hmm. all God. I mean, and the same God that delivered me from cussing from day one, from the minute I said yes, he goes, okay, you got babies in the house. I got to get rid of that. I have to deliver you from that mouth instantaneously. Okay. The same God that has kept me from, because where I grew up, they used to call it the drug block in New York. Every time you turned around, a drug lord used to live three buildings down from where I lived. So I was surrounded by all that. My friends got hooked, but guess what? He kept me from that. He kept me from drinking, because my family, some members of my family became alcoholics, mm-hmm. I mean, hardcore alcoholics. And he kept me from that, He gave me the courage to be able to say no. Because I mean, I got offered all of that stuff. Hey, you want to join? Hey, you want this? And I would look at them and say, nope. And they're like, oh man, you a square. Oh man, you ain't. And I'm like, whatever. I said, I'm a sober square. How about that? One thing he did give me was a mouth. Which I mean, but he gave me the courage to say no. No to drugs, no to drinking, I wish he'd give me he delivered me from eating donuts and stuff like that, but
deliver me from Amazon shopping. That's my
put it on prayer, Diana. Put it on prayer.
We'll pray for you, Diana. Lord, please help her stop eating donuts.
And anything else that's not good for me.
I think I'm gonna go back to pescatarianism again.
Some what?
Pescatarian, where I don't eat meat, I just eat fish.
I still do that.
Oh, nice.
Really? Good. Yeah, I should do that too. It's just chicken is everywhere.
It's tricky because I like chicken.
Pizza's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Girl.
I'm a diabetic, so I should not be eating all that stuff, but
it's hard because pizza's addictive. I don't know what they put
sugar
in.
Sugar and flour.
Sugar is addictive.
Those are the enemies.
Yes.
They really are, truly.
I remember, I'm 48 now. Even at 43, I could eat sugar and still have abs. And now it's like, I eat a donut. I see that for the next 2 months. Putting hard work in trying to get that donut to go away.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting old fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but wisdom comes with it, so it can't be. It's not too bad, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way I can ask you guys a prayer?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I told you guys, I don't know if I told you, Diana, that my husband recently, he had cancer, and then he had a surgery. He came back good, but then he lost his job. He has been attacked. Because now he prays on his knees. Now he goes to Bible study. So there is a big change. Mm-hmm. He's being attacked. So he got a new job and he was struggling. He's 65. He was struggling to learn the systems because what he does is really complicated. And they fire him again.
They what?
They fire him.
Wow.
So he wasn't even a whole month there. He was with a bunch of very young girls and programmers and people like that. He's 65, learning a very difficult job. And he was struggling, suffering every day. So I would like a prayer for him because he's really receiving an attack.
Absolutely.
And that was when I was getting very down. Because, when your loved one suffer, you suffer more,
Yeah.
And I was all the time saying, I know you have some plan. I know you probably want him to retire to serve you. I know, but it's just the way that things happen. And it hurts me because it hurts him, But then is when I saw that clip of the devil with the poor man. in checkmate.
Yeah.
And
It's
then
awesome.
the king has another move.
Yeah.
And then it's, I was like just thinking in that, just being overwhelmed. And he sent me that. And I said, oh. Then I was like, he told me, remember, you have the king. You know?
Yeah.
And I say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Jesus. Yeah, you take care of this and I won't even worry. And I say, I had to share that with you guys because it really helped me
That's
that
awesome.
moment, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, I ask you guys to pray for my husband and for his attack and for all what is happening. But yes, I know that he has a plan. I know that God has a plan that is better for us than anything. And we trust in that. It's just that we can also notice the attack. That attack is what I need the prayer for.
Okay, what's your husband's name?
Nick. Nick
Nick.
Battaglia.
Yeah, one thing when I was talking earlier about the inmate I've been writing to, I had deleted the episode from our podcast because I was like, okay, well, you know, she was upset by it, so I feel like it's okay to delete that. And I was thinking, I was like, should I just delete all the true crime ones? And I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do that because people love true crime. And maybe if they come to listen to the true crime, they'll see the Jesus ones and go back to listen to that and maybe bring some more people to him. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep the true crime ones up because you never know who that might draw in.
Okay.
And I feel okay with that. I feel at peace with that decision. Does anybody have anything else they want to share or prayer requests or anything?
Nope. I'll be praying for every last one of you.
Right back at you.
Thank you, Diana. The same to you. We're praying for you.
For sure.
Benjamin, you want to pray us out, sir?
Sure. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us together tonight and helping us to talk about you and your love and your word. And we just thank you for being present with us and helping us to reach out to anyone who happens to listen to this podcast. And we pray that you bless them and bring them to you. And we thank you for just blessing our lives, Lord. We pray that you put your hands upon Nick and fight the devil attack and keep him away from Nick and help Nick to find something that honors you and blesses his spirit and just helps him to be happier and to just do your will. And Father, in all of our lives, I pray your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if you want to get in touch with us, or if you have prayer requests of your own, or just need somebody to pray with you or for you, please reach out to us. Our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. And I do check it every day, even the spam. So you won't go unheard or unnoticed, I promise. Because literally have nothing else to do. So it gets checked every day. But yeah, just please reach out to us. And if you've recently accepted Jesus into your heart, be ready because you're gonna start getting attacked. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. Because devil don't like people going to the kingdom. He'd rather him come down there with him so he can bully him and whatever the heck he does down there. I don't plan on finding out, so
he's already a defeated foe. So
I plan on taking a whole bunch more people away from him. No matter what we have to do. That's my goal. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you. And Diana, thanks for coming on. It's always, I like having you on. It's nice.
And thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And it's so good to see you guys. Really.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Your presence is very good. Thank you.
Yes, love you guys.
We love you guys. Love you. Love guys. And we'll talk to you in a week.
All righty.
Okay. Good night. See you. Bye-bye. So come on.
As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm Chapter 30, verse 5. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lines. Until next time, keep walking toward the light.